Welcome to Health Talk, brought to you by White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith. My guest right now is Dr. Craig Bursowski. He is an otolaryngologist, director of voice and swallowing here at White Plains Hospital, one of three new ENT specialists to join White Plains Hospital. I know they're very thrilled to have you all here.
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much. So you're a voice and swallowing expert. Please tell us the 101 of what you do besides, obviously, you know, deal with people's speaking and their voices.
Right. So I started out as an otolaryngologist. I did 5 years of training, and then I did a special year of fellowship in laryngology, which is focusing on disorders of the larynx or the throat.
Yes.
So the three main things we treat are people with voice issues, which we call dysphonia, or swallowing issues, dysphagia, or actually airway issues, people with narrowed airways. One of the more common things we treat are people with voice issues.
I see.
The most common voice issues we treat are benign lesions of the vocal cords, so polyps, nodules, cysts. We deal with, unfortunately, cancerous lesions of the vocal cords. Mm-hmm. And then we also deal with people that have neuromuscular issues that have progressive weakness of the vocal cords. Mm-hmm. We do deal with a lot of aging population. Mm-hmm. As we get older, our muscles get weaker and our voice gets weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, fortunately for many people, when they're in their 70s and 80s, they're actually still vibrant individuals and traveling and socializing, and they're more affected by their voice because they cannot project it and they cannot function and
yes.
socialize.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing we deal with is something called vocal cord paralysis, which is, again, is an unfortunate, usually a complication of a surgery or of a big cancer in the chest or in the neck, which can actually invade the vocal cord and cause voicing issues.
Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining, so you said your patients are generally geriatric in nature, or they're also people, maybe singers or people who, like me, use their voice for a living.
Right.
And probably a little too much.
Yeah. So we see a full gamut of patients. I treat little kids and I treat, you know, patients that are in their hundreds, which is actually the fun part of the job because you get to see a lot of age ranges of people. So we see a lot of patients who come in who are professional voice users, and not a lot of people consider themselves a professional voice user, but teachers, clergymen, lawyers, anyone who uses their voice as a mode of communication for their job is a professional voice user. Also see a lot of singers, actors, and those people are the ones that come in more. Actually, one of the more common things we're seeing a lot now is a lot of these people who are doing these high-intensity exercise programs, they're the teachers of them, so the spin classes, all
yes.
these boot camps, because they're yelling and screaming over their class and the music and
absolutely.
Trying to project their voice.
And there
out.
Really is a such thing as overuse and also using it incorrectly. I was a theater major, so I got my degree in, you know, learning how to talk to a large audience without a microphone. And there's ways that you can do it that can help to mitigate some of these issues, but we're not all taught that. We're not all getting our BFA in theater.
Exactly. And even one of the things we talked to some of our teachers and even some people who need to use their voice, if they're having issues, they can use these portable microphones, and that is actually a nice little thing that people can use so they don't have to push their voice. They can just
absolutely, absolutely. Well, I understand, Doctor, that there's a cool technology available today that helps you diagnose and treat your vocal cords. Tell us a little bit about that. What's it called and what is it?
So in the office, we use something called flexible laryngoscopy,
mm-hmm.
which is a flexible camera that goes through the nose. You can also have one that goes into the mouth. It actually looks down the back of the throat. And this is done with the patient fully awake and participating in the activity.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get that camera in, we use a special light. It's a strobe light,
mm-hmm.
just like you're in a dance party.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually are able to alternate that with the voice frequency. It allows us to separate the vocal cords and see how they're moving while someone is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
This allows us to see any sorts of lesions of the vocal cords and how they're disrupting voicing, as well as even small, minute, maybe there's one spot of the vocal cord that's causing a little bit of dysfunction. And we see that a lot in a lot of our voice professionals. They're bothered by some small thing that's affecting their job. And so they come in, and using this technology, we're actually able to see these small, minute details.
I see.
And then once we can video it, we then show it to the patient, and they're actually seeing real time that day in the office what the problem is, and it helps them understand why we're recommending the certain treatments that we're recommending.
That's incredible. Really, it's the technology today, yes. It's really something else. Singers like Celine Dion and Michael Bublé, they all canceled shows. I mean, what about wonderful Mary Poppins, yes. Julie Andrews? Yeah. She was the first, one of the first very, you know, high-profile cases of losing her vocal cords, or not losing them, but maybe a rupture or a hemorrhage or something. Right. What actually happens to these singers, what happens to their vocal cords? Is it overuse, or is it exhaustion, or just predisposed to it?
It's a lot of everything. So some people are more predisposed to having injuries, just like some athletes, just, you know, they show up into the professionals and they all of a sudden get injured over and over and over again, and their body just was not meant to be doing that activity at that high a level.
Right.
The other thing you do see in a lot of people is that as we are using our voice a lot, and if you're not using appropriate techniques, you can damage the vocal cords. A lot of what happens to these singers and a lot of other people who use their voice a lot is that when we get tired, we start pushing, and that pushing of the vocal cords causes a lot of strain.
Yes.
And once you start using that strain, you can cause an injury, which can either be a callus, which is like a rubbing. That's what Julie Andrews had. And then, or you can get a hemorrhage, so you can rupture a blood vessel if you scream or yell loud enough.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that actually can create a polyp. So after you rupture the blood vessel, it actually pushes out, and the lining of the vocal cord gets actually really large and obstructs the vocal cords from moving.
Now, are these treatable issues, or do you just recommend not using your voice for a while? Who was it? I'm trying to remember now, what star was it that they couldn't talk for, like, you know, several months because of something?
I think that was Adele.
Was that Adele, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So how is this treated? And is it curable?
So most of these problems are treatable. If it is an inherent nature of the way your vocal cords are, then those are not as treatable.
Mm-hmm.
But most people with appropriate treatment can go through and get successful return of their voice. The mainstay of treatment we always offer people is they could do nothing. It is their voice. It's a quality of life problem. So we tell people that, you know, we look down there, and a lot of people are reassured it's not a cancer.
Yeah.
And so we tell them that this is not a cancer, and they say, well, that's fine, and they move on.
They move on.
Right.
Yeah.
With people who we do need to treat, the first line is something called voice therapy. We have specialists who train in, they're speech-language pathologists. They train in voice restoration.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is work with patients on relaxation techniques. They work on efficiency of the vocal cords. They work on strengthening the vocal cords to return the normal function of the vocal cords and hopefully resolve some of these overuse and abuse issues. If that doesn't work, or the problem is really large, such as a large polyp, or one of the vocal cords doesn't work, as in the paralysis, then there are procedures we do either in the operating room, or we do some procedures actually awake in the office,
mm-hmm.
where we can actually build up the vocal cord or remove the causative problem, the polyp, a cancer, something like that, and actually restore the voice to people.
Right.
I always tell people that with voice therapy, we're more likely to get 100% of their voice back. Once you start doing surgery, you can't always guarantee
issues.
So we usually like to use the voice therapy as our first line treatment unless we need to do surgery.
Well, I sing in a choir, and before we start, we do these little warm-up. They're always called warm-up exercises. So it's sort of like warming your body up when you're going out for a run or whatever. Do you recommend this to people just in general, not just singers, but maybe everybody, maybe in the morning they should be doing some mame me mo moos or something?
That is a good way to warm up your voice. We do recommend people treat their voice, especially if they are anticipating a lot of voice use, to perform vocal exercises or warm-ups of their voice. And you don't have to be trained to do them. It's just easing yourself into the use.
Absolutely.
And then we also tell people that if their, you know, their voice is bothering them, they really want to kind of start to cut back on using their voice. If you notice that you need to give a speech and you've been practicing so much that you're really hoarse, you know what? Give yourself some breaks, rehearse it in your mind, you know, things like that really preserve the function that you want.
Well, doctor, one other question. What do you suggest we can do to prevent issues with our vocal cords, and how can we keep them healthy? Do you have any tips?
Sure. So I tell most people that come to me with voicing issues that if they're at a low risk of a cancer, so they're not a smoker, not a drinker, that for about 2 weeks their voice is bad, that's normal. If you have a sick, your laryngitis, a sinus infection, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, for those people, I tell them the biggest things are hydration. You want to drink lots of water, stay away from the sugary beverages, anything that dries out the throat, decrease your caffeine intake, as well as do the rest that we talked about. You don't want to use your voice too much. That's when you're going to cause some of the injuries that we previously spoke about. Mm-hmm. By resting the voice, it allows you to, you know, let them to heal in the appropriate manner. Absolutely. I also tell people when they do have hoarseness, don't try and whisper. Just use your voice the way it normally is.
Oh, really? That's a myth, huh?
That is a myth.
Like if you talk really quietly, you might save it.
Right, because that's actually straining the voice wrong way. What you want to do, and I tell people this all the time in the office, they laugh at it, is that when you have a hoarse voice, just whatever awfulness comes out, that's your voice for the day.
That's your voice for
the day. All right, and that is a good way of guiding you as to when your voice is going to start coming back, because you'll slowly start to notice that your voice is returning to a more normal sound to you, because you're not straining. We deal with a lot of people who strain while they have a bad voice, and then we have to send them to the voice therapist to actually fix that strain.
Oh, my goodness. And that honey and lemon, myth or truth?
That's great. Yeah, it's a great way to humidify the throat. Honey actually, they're finding more uses for honey nowadays. It actually is a great lubricant for the throat and provides some good antibacterial properties.
Mixed with tea, is it okay?
That is okay, yes.
All right. Dr. Craig Brzozowski, otolaryngologist, director of voice and swallowing at White Plains Hospital, and one of the new 3 ENT specialists to join. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you today.
Thank you very much.